You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. First, I said good morning, and then I thank you for the afternoon. Boy, have I got my times. I guess this pandemic time, I'm confused as to which day it is and what time it is. Just like, it's silly, huh? Well, I hope you're better than I am. Yeah, that's all I can say. Let's begin with a prayer, shall we, everyone? A Hail Mary. Ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you have a Bible, can you go get it? And I want you to find Haggai, Haggai, chapter 2, okay? I want you to find that as I get my notes ready here myself. All right, so, brothers and sisters, the reason I chose this is that in times like these, where do we go? What do we say? What do I do now? Well, we go to God, right, brothers and sisters? We go to God. Satan's biggest tool, brothers and sisters, is the tool of discouragement. It is a mighty, big weapon to knock you down on your knees and feel so helpless. But our Lord's strength and our Lord's weapon is encouragement. When you're feeling hopeless and when you need strength, God is the God of encouragement, and he comes in any crisis, in crisis in the scriptures that we'll see and we've seen, and in crisis today around the world. When it says, be of courage, be strong. Why would the scripture tell us that, brothers and sisters? Why? Because God knows when someone is discouraged. He knows it. And he knows when you need the love of the Lord. Because courage, listen, is not the absence of fear. Courage is fear that is smothered in prayer. Beautiful, huh? All right. So, brothers and sisters, turn to the Bible, please. Turn to your Bible. Find chapter 2, Haggai. And there it is, verse 4. Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. Brothers and sisters, it's a powerful scripture. I want you to remember that. Just by hearing this, you know, during that time, people then were already in turmoil. The economy had collapsed there as well. People had just arrived from exile, right? But today, it's similar to today. We get hit with this virus that you can't even see under a telescope. And we've been hit. And this was written 520 BC. And God sent his word through the prophet Haggai. Right? And be strong. Be strong, he tells us. And then you say to yourself, but how can I be strong with no graduation? How can I be strong when I've used up my retirement money? How can I be strong when I've lost my job? What do I do now? How can I be strong? Well, and also you might even become, as these people in the Bible as well, became very nostalgic. But I want you to understand something. When you doubt, brothers and sisters, then you must believe the scripture of God's word. For he says, the secret to encouragement, to all your encouragement that you ever need, is this word, these four, one, two, three, four, five words. For I am with you. For I am with you. Therefore, you don't need to fear. Okay, in tough times, I know sometimes we think back, well, it was better then, you know, we compare, just as the people did in the Bible. They were comparing as well. But don't place your faith always in science. Place your faith in God. Because God answers, and he answers us. Be strong. I know how you feel. I know what you need. God doesn't sugarcoat discouragement. God doesn't rebuke your discouragement and says to you, why are you down? No, he understands, brothers and sisters. He understands us. He knows where we're at. So don't get down on yourself, right? And don't look back. Our God encourages us. And by this, we remember the presence of God in our life. And in his power, we can overcome. Look forward. Look to a greater future. Verses 6, 7, and 8, and 9 all say that. Every word of Haggai is a prophecy that was fulfilled. Because after that, they were able to spread the gospel throughout the earth. God's call to this pandemic, God's call is to look up. Look up. This is a dramatic way that God is reaching out to every unbeliever. Make this day, brothers and sisters, make this time your time to be consecrated to the Lord our God again. Make this time to return to our Lord. And I'm going to look at Haggai in 15 and 16, verse 15 and 16. Haggai then said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, says the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. But now, consider what will come to pass from this day on, before a stone was placed upon a stone in the Lord's temple. How did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and mildew and hail, yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. Consider from this day on, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is there any seed left in the barn? Do the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree still yield nothing? From this day on, I will bless you. Brothers and sisters, today is a day of encouragement, a day to come back to the Lord. Consider your lifestyle, he's saying. Consider how you lived. Consider how you did things, how you operated. Now, he is saying, you are going to be guarded. You are going to be taken care of. He says to you, I am in control. Jesus is the only way to God. And so, brothers and sisters, we have spent this month, and we continue to talk about angels, miracles, healings, because that's where I want you to understand that this time is a time to come closer to our Lord and to believe that we are not lost people, that we are not forsaken people, but we are strengthened. We are in the presence of God, and God loves us very much. He loves you. For the most part, Jesus healed those who demonstrated faith in his power. In several accounts, there seems to be a relationship between the miracle performed and the faith of its beneficiary. For example, in the story of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, that's in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, and Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and in Luke chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus declared that it was her faith that healed her. Later, before bringing Lazarus back from the dead, Jesus reminded the crowd that seeing God's glory requires faith, brothers and sisters. It requires faith. In one instance, a non-Jew, right, woman, persistently followed Jesus, declaring her faith and asking him to heal her daughter, who was possessed by demons. And the disciples were annoyed by the woman's persistence. Yet this didn't stop her from crying out and begging Jesus to help. And Jesus finally answered her, "Dear woman, you really do have a lot of faith, and you will be given what you want." At that moment, her daughter was healed. That's in scripture found in Matthew 15. As Jesus' reputation for miracles grew, more crowds approached him with their sick and disabled, begging just for a chance to touch his clothes. And wouldn't you, brothers and sisters, if something is troubling you, and if you had something even as we are today, and if you saw Jesus walking, what would you do? Wouldn't you run to him? Wouldn't you cry out? Wouldn't you stretch out your hands to him with tears in your eyes, wanting just to touch his cloak, and knowing that if you just touch his cloak, my gosh, you would be healed. Your prayers would be answered. Brothers and sisters, although Jesus doesn't walk this earth now, but Jesus, we are in the presence of the Lord. We are in the presence of the Lord. Lord is here. He is with us. He has not forsaken us. He is asking us always through scripture, be of courage. Don't be discouraged. I am the way. I'm in control. I will decide. I know what you need. God is telling us this, brothers and sisters. That's why this pandemic, don't be afraid. Don't leave it. Just look up and focus your eyes on Christ. Focus your eyes on Christ. The author of the fourth gospel, whom many identify with the unnamed beloved disciple, wrote that the miracles of Jesus exceeded the accounts provided in the Gospels. Do you understand that? Indeed, the Gospels are not an exhaustive documentation of Jesus' life. Instead, they introduce us to the service, the sacrifice, and the compassionate acts of healing and that are defined the reason for his coming into the world, to seek and to save the lost. And we are all lost. The Gospels tell us that those who witnessed Jesus' miracles but lacked faith received harsh words of impending judgment. Jesus' public ministry was defined not only by his healing miracles, but also by his teaching and his continual invitation to those who would listen and find spiritual rest in him. While he offered people miraculous healing for both their physical and spiritual infirmities, Jesus' healing ministry served to announce the kingdom of God and the restoration of a right relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, we, as they say, must keep the faith. We have to be strong. We know who is in charge here. The most beautiful story, too, in Scripture. Jesus, along with his mother Mary and the disciples, you know this story, was a guest at the celebration when the hosts ran out of wine. Yes, I am going through miracles, brothers and sisters, through miracles right now. In future broadcasts, we're going to be touching on angels. But please, listen and be with us. Be strong. These scriptures, these happened, brothers and sisters. These things really happened. In a society that valued hospitality so highly, such an embarrassment threatened to tarnish the host family's reputation for years if they ran out of wine. Mary, who knew better than anyone what her son was capable of, sprang into action. She alerted Jesus to the situation, and despite Jesus' response that his time of public ministry had not yet come, she confidently instructed the servants to do whatever Jesus told them. Jesus had the servants fill six stone water jars to the top with water. And once they were filled, he instructed them to take a sample to the man hosting the banquet. The host drank the water, only it was not water, but wine. And not just ordinary wine, but wine of extraordinarily good quality. The host called the bridegroom over and expressed his amazement that he had saved the best wine until the end of the feast, when it was customary to serve lower quality wine. And according to John's Gospel, Jesus' miracle at Cana was not only a testimony to his glory and power, but also a gift of abundance and celebration. Brothers and sisters, the gospel writers that are included in through the miracles of Jesus, these are documentation of Jesus' ministry. In the case of John's gospel, the miracles recorded, they serve as a sign to all of us, to everyone around Jesus, regarding his identity. In fact, the word used for miracle in this fourth gospel is a Greek word translated as sign. The author of this gospel pointed to Jesus as the Son of God and recounted the miracles to confirm that identity. In John chapter 2, the first 11 verses talks of the wedding at Cana. So brothers and sisters, yes, our Lord Jesus is a healer, a miracle worker, everything that you can ever imagine to bring life to all of us and healing. The Gospels, brothers and sisters, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story of a woman, remember that I mentioned, who had been bleeding? Well, according to the Old Testament in Leviticus, such a condition was considered ceremonially unclean and unfit to worship at the temple with her fellow Jews, okay? Just ostracized because of it. Like, you're not even allowed to be among others. No one would dare touch her because doing so would make them unclean as well. And so the unnamed woman had spent the last of her savings on physicians, and none of them were able to heal her. And yet, again, as I reiterate this story of giving in to despair, the woman clung to her faith in Jesus' touch, healing touch. And so when she found herself in a crowd of people following Jesus, she just seized the opportunity and reaching out just enough to touch the edge of Jesus' clothing, she was immediately healed. And Jesus felt the power going out, asked who had touched him. And the woman came forward and told her her story. And Jesus was so impressed that she was healed because of her faith. The power of this story is not in just the miraculous healing alone, but in the decisive role that the woman's faith played in the healing. It was because of her faith that she was healed. Brothers and sisters, how many stories do you know of people who've been healed? And they said, but I have faith, I know. And yet you may get someone, you know, who is not a believer and say, well, that's really nice that you have this faith thing, you know, happening, right? But science tells us this and medical reports show that. No, the final say comes from God. The final say is from God. Nobody else. He decides. And if he decides it will be, it will be. God is the ultimate physician, the ultimate. Then comes your doctors, then comes your medical staff. First, it's God. There is another lesson in this story. Jesus was not at all concerned at being touched by someone considered unclean. Instead, he focused on the woman's faith and blessed her with physical and spiritual peace. So, brothers and sisters, I hope you are feeling encouraged today through Scripture. And then, of course, you know about the leprosy that was happening throughout the country. And that was the fate of touching the untouchable. Imagine being cut off from the rest of society because you're considered untouchable. And that was the way it was for lepers. Lepers were required to tear their clothes, leave their hair uncombed, keep the lower part of their face covered, and go around shouting, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And you'll find that in Leviticus 13. And despite this status as a low-class citizen, one leper approached Jesus with a mixture of confidence and humility, and he knelt down before him, and he declared that he believed Jesus had the power to make him well. And according to Mark's gospel, Jesus took pity on the man. What is particularly amazing, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus willingly stretched out his hand and touched the man, despite the contagious nature of leprosy and the reality that by touching the man, Jesus made himself unclean, unfit to worship with other Jews, according to the law of Moses. And in spite of these risks, however, Jesus touched the man, and the man was cured. Jesus immediately instructed the man to do two things. First, he forbade the man to tell anyone about the miracle. And second, he told the man to present himself to the priest in order to prove that he had been made well. Jesus' second command was in keeping with the law of Moses regarding the cleansing of lepers. And far from keeping the healing private, I mean, really, this act constituted a very public testimony. I mean, can you imagine? This miracle yet provides another example between a person's faith and Jesus' healing touch. Brothers and sisters, have faith. God is taking care of us. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. And of course, Jesus traveling with his disciples as he's arriving And he hears about his best friend, Lazarus, who has passed away. And when the mourners, when he saw the mourners out loud and that somehow everyone felt that Jesus let everybody down, that, you know, you could have prevented this. And everyone was so overcome that even Jesus cried, brothers and sisters, even Jesus cried. That was his friend. And Martha warned Jesus that there would be an awful smell, but when he went near the tomb. But after all, her brother had been dead for 4 days and his body had started to decompose. Jesus' request was carried out. As soon as the stone was moved, and he asked the stone to be moved to roll away the stone, he thanked God for answering his prayers. And then he did something quite perplexing to the onlookers. He called out to the dead man they had buried and for whom they were grieving. And according to John's gospel, Lazarus responded by walking out of the tomb, still wrapped in his burial clothes. Jesus had given Lazarus new life. In this miracle, one of the memorable of Jesus' ministry, we not only see Christ's triumph over the physical state of death, but the promise of a new life for all who heed his call. Brothers and sisters, our time is going, but like you, I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm not afraid. I trust God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. And together, brothers and sisters, we will get through this together. We will be just fine. So let's say our Father before we go, and then I bid you goodbye. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. 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 Have a blessed day, brothers and sisters. See you next time. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Just single.